Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Gimel. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Razlin Feder, Reza Bas Avram Abba. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We begin a new sugya somewhat on the bottom of Mem Beis, Omud Beis, six lines from the bottom. And the Gemara asks the following Shaila, Yibaylu, they ask in the Beis Medrash, Eved Shemucharo Rabo Liknas, Machor O Eino Machor. We had discussed yesterday the concept of a knas. There's a 30 shekel, 30 kasef penalty if your ox gores an eved and kills him. That's knas. If it kills, your ox kills, your ox is a shormuad, and it kills a free person, there's something called kofar. You pay the value of that person, whereas by the eved, there's an independent 30 shekel penalty that you pay called knas, regardless of whether the eved is worth it or not. Now, the Gemara asks the Shaila, if a person owns an ox, Reuven owns an ox, and he sells the rights of the Knas, just the rights of the Knas, to Shimon. So Eved, Shemachoru, Rabu, Leknas. Reuven only sold the aspect of Knas to Shimon. He retains the rights to the Eved. But if the Eved were to be gored by an ox and be killed, so then instead of Reuven getting that 30 shekel, he sold that to Shimon. So Shimon is on speculation. He's paying, let's say, one shekel, and in case Reuven's servant gets killed by an ox, he'll make a windfall. He'll get 30 shekel instead of for the one shekel they pay for it. But the chances of this happening is unlikely, so it's a speculation. So in this situation, can you sell such a right or not? Mahur or eino mahur? Does Reuven have the right to sell the rights to the knas or not? Now, what's the question? Tiboyle Reb Meir, Tiboyle Reb Adam. This works out whether you hold like Reb Meir, who always holds that a person can sell davar shelo baliyolam, or does it go like the Chachamim? Question will be asked, even according to the Chachamim, who hold that you can sell a davar shelo baliyolam. Now, what do we mean by that? To Yibayla, Reb Meir, we can ask the question according to Reb Meir, that Reb Meir normally holds that a person is allowed to sell something that hasn't yet come into the world. So, ad kan lo kama Reb Meir, ad makne davar shelo baliyolam, even though Reb Meir normally holds a person is permitted to sell something that hasn't yet come into the world. So Ella, that's only, can go in Peros Dekel. For example, the person has the right to go and sell the fruits that will be born from this palm tree. So he can go prospectively. Reuven can own this palm tree and sell Shimon the rights to the fruits, even though there are no fruits there yet. So that is a Dover Shlo Boliolam, and Rav Meir holds that you can sell that, but that's only in the fruits that are coming to be raised on this palm tree. The avidi, the osu, because it is definitely going to come. That's the normal nature of things. This palm tree produces fruits every year, produces dates every year, so you're allowed to sell those dates that aren't yet in this world, but will mistoma come to the world, the avidi, the osu. But here, maybe Rav Meir only says that by the palm tree, aval hocha. Who says that this is David the Yosu? Who says this is going to happen? Number one, Miemar de Mingach. Who says that this effort is going to be gored by an ox? And even if you want to say it gets gored by an ox, Vimtim Saloma de Mingach, and even if you want to say that the ox is going to kill this effort, and there would be theoretically a penalty of 30 shkolim, of 30 kesef, Mimai de Mishalim. Who says that the owner of the ox is going to, in fact, have to go and pay that 30 shkolim? Because we turn to Mem Gimel Lamed Aleph, maybe Dilma Mode, maybe the owner of the ox is going to admit and based it that, listen, I'm sorry, my ox, I didn't watch him carefully enough, it's a Shoram Hood, and it went and killed the seven. Umifter, he's Mode Biknas, they have no Adim, there's no other independent knowledge that his ox was the one that killed this Evid. And as the top Rashi tells us, if you're Mode based it, Kodem Hados Adim, before there are any Adim to make you have to pay that 30 shkolim, and therefore, umode b'knas is potter. This is the halacha. If a person admits to something, so if it's a knas, he doesn't have to pay. If it's a debt, he has to pay it. Hodas, baldin, kmer edim dami. But by knas, there's a special din, that if you're mode with a knas, and there's no other independent proof that you have to pay that knas, so mode b'knas is potter. That's a din. So therefore, who says, even if the eved is gored by an ox, and even if the eved is killed by the goring of this ox, maybe there won't be the payment of the 30 shkolim, because the owner of the ox will be mode before there's any evidence, and therefore, before there are edim, he'll be mode, and therefore, mode b'knas is potter. So the question can be asked according to a mayor, who normally says you can be mocked in a dosho b'olyolim, but maybe in this situation, it's not something that's the avidi, the osu, and even a mayor would say it's no good. And likewise, even according to the Chachamim, you can ask this question, the Tiboyle Rabbanon, who normally say that a person cannot be machnid davar shel bo liolam. So that's only at kan lo kamri rabbanon ain other machnid davar shel bo liolam. The rabbis normally say that you can't be machnid something that hasn't come into the world. You know why? That's only in a situation elu kigon peros dekel da hashda mia lesnu, because right now there's a palm tree but there are zero fruits. So you can't sell something that is not in this world. There are no fruits in this world. You can't go sell something that isn't in this world. As the Gemara says, the hashta right now, miha, let's know. There are no fruits. And therefore, that's why the Chacham say you can't make a kinyan on something that hasn't yet come into the world. However, but in the case of the goring ox, that's in the world. The Eved, he's in the world. So therefore, maybe even the Chacham would say that you could make such a kinyan to sell the rights to collect the knas if an ox gores this Eved. Because, guess what? Ha-koi shor va-koi Eved. Both of them are in existence. It's not a davar shel bo liolam. So that's the question they asked in the Beis Medrash. The question, can you go sell the rights to collect the knas? Can Reuven sell just the rights to connect the knas to Shimon? And this question could be asked according to Rav Meir or according to the Chacham. My, what is the halacha? Sumer says, Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Toshma. The following Brisa answers the question. Now the Brisa talks about the family of a Kohen who gets to eat Truma, and do the purchases, the Avadim of a Kohen, get to eat Truma? The answer is to both, yes. Now how do we know this? It's Toshma. So the Brisa tells us. The Pasuk says, V'yilid boyis, yilid beiso. The Pasuk actually reads, V'yilid beiso, heim yochlu kilachmo. So any avodim that the Kohen has, and they have children, so the avodim also are entitled to go and eat truma in the Kohen's house, just like the Eved or the Shivcha can eat truma because they are kinyan kaspo, so to vilid beso is allowed to go and eat truma. Now, how do we know this? Because im kinyan kesef ochel, if you purchase a slave, that slave was not allowed to eat truma till now, and now suddenly can go and eat truma because it becomes kinyan kaspo of the kohen. So certainly you lid bias lokoshkein. So it's a kavul chomer that a child born as a slave of a kohen certainly should be allowed to go and eat truma. Now, Laura says, ilu chayin, if this were the way that you're learning it out, you know what I would have said? I might have thought that my kinyan kesef sheyesh bo shaveh kesef ochel. Why is a Kohen's Eved allowed to eat something? Because he acquired something of value. Shehu shaveh kesef, it's at least worth a pruta. When you go purchase a slave, the slave is worth at least a pruta. And that's why the kinyan kaspo, as the pasuk says, it's worth something can eat. So therefore, I would have said, af yilid bayis, even a child born, a brand new baby that's born to a kohen, only sheyesh bo shaveh kesef ochel, and if it doesn't have a shaveh kesef, it wouldn't be allowed to eat. So the brand new baby may not be worth the shaveh kesef. All it is a liability at that point in time. All it does is eat. It doesn't serve you until the kids get much, much older. So therefore, I might have thought that this yilid bayis should only eat when he's worth the shaveh kesef. Uminayin sha'afel pish eino shaveh kesef klum, even though he's not worth any kesef, he's not worth anything at all, nevertheless, he's allowed to eat. That's why the pasuk says, tam lomar, Vilid bayis, the pasuk says, Vilid beso, heim yochlu belachmo, to teach us mikol mokum, even if they're not worth a shaveh kesef. Okay, so that's how we know that a yilid beso is allowed to go and eat, whether it's worth a shaveh kesef or whether it's not, because of the extra words, Vilid bayis, because otherwise we'd have a kavul chomer that, of course, he can eat. If a person that you purchased can eat, so certainly a person that's born into the kahuna, so to say, is a child that's born to the edit of the kohen, certainly should be able to eat. Okay. Now, by dying anymore, you can still ask the questions. Let's work it the other way. So if yilid beso, yilid bias is allowed to eat, bein sheyesh bo shaveh kesef, bein sheein bo shaveh kesef, nevertheless, ochel is allowed to go and eat in that situation. So I might have said that the same thing should apply to kinyan kesef. So kinyan kesef, yesh bo shaveh kesef ochel, ein bo shaveh kesef, ein no ochel. So I normally would have said that the kinyan kesef has to be worth something. But now we compare it to yilid bayis. So therefore, Talmud Lomar, kinyan kesef yilid bayis. So there's a hekish over here to teach us that the two have the same din. And therefore, my yilid bayis, af al pi she'eino shaveh klum ochel. So af kinyan kesef, af al pi she'eino shaveh klum ochel. So therefore, because of the hekish, we make the comparison both ways. So the Yilid Bayis, the Yilid Beso, can eat whether he's worth the Shavu Kesef or not. So too, the Kinyan Kaspo, even if it's not worth a Shavu Kesef, you purchase the slave that's not even worth the Pruta, nevertheless, that slave can go and eat Truma. Now, what does this have to do with our answer to our question, can you sell the value of the knas. Can you sell the right to collect the knas from Reuven to Shimon? And that's all he's selling. So Rabbi Abba says as follows: V'isoka daitach, if you're going to tell me Evet Shemechoro Rabo Liknas is Machor, if you're going to tell me that Reuven does have the right to just sell the rights to collect the Knas to Shimon, if in fact that were to be allowed, then this Brisa doesn't make any sense. Why is that? Mi Ika Abda Delo Mizdabe Liknasa. How can you ever say that an Evet doesn't have any value? What would be the Shaila? How can you get off the ground to say that, is there a type of an Evet that could be a Kinyan Kaspo that is in fact not worth a Shava Pruta? After all, you could always, on speculation, sell the rights for the collection of the 30 knas if it gets gored for an ox for a shava pruta. Who wouldn't be willing to do that type of a deal? You make a windfall over here, you pay a pruta, and should the ox get gored? Okay, it's not, should the ox gore this Evet? Granted, it's not a very likely scenario, but should the ox in fact gore this Evet, you come out with a windfall of 30 shkalim. So how could you ever say that there'd be a person that wouldn't be worth at least a shava pruta? Because you could always sell the rights. Oh, from the fact that there is a description in this brisa of an Evet that's not worth a shava pruta, it must be proof. Rabbi Abba says that you can't go and sell the rights to collect the knas. Therefore, Reuven would not be allowed to sell those rights, just the rights to collect the knas to Shimon. Mar says, no, there is an example, even if you could sell the knas, there is an example where the Evet is still not worth a shava pruta, in a case where you can't collect the knas. What's the case where you can't collect the knas? Ika Evet treifa. As Rashi points out in Dibra Masel b'treifa, she'ein mishalben olav knas. A person who is unfortunately having certain either anatomical or medical conditions that he's not going to live out the year, so such a person is considered already to a certain extent as dead. We have this halacha in terms of Mises Beis Din, that normally Beis Din, of course, if somebody kills somebody else, so then there is a then that there's if there was warning, if there was hasra, if there were edim, so then basically we'll give out Mises Beis Din. But that will not occur if the person that was killed is a treifa. If you go into the ICU and a person's on his deathbed and you go and remove him from the respirator and you kill him, so then in that situation you're a rotzeach, but you can't get Mises Beis Din, because Mises Beis Din only applies to a person who would otherwise have lived a year by all expectations. And therefore, we're here dealing here with a treifa. The Gemara says, Shein mishalmen olav knas, the Gavra Ketila Hu, Rashi says, that this person is considered like a dead man walking, and therefore there is such an Evet that's not even worth a Shava Pruta to sell the Knas. That would be an Evet that doesn't have Knas, i.e. if the Evet was a Trefa. So Gemara still says, how can you still say that an Evet isn't worth a Shava Pruta? V'ha Chose L'meikam Kamei. As Rashi says, the kamei means lisharso. He can serve him in some way. He can pick up the phone for him. Lisharso in some way. Avopi shenechtecho ragel. Let's say he's in a wheelchair and he's going to die. Nebuch, he has some condition that is going to kill him within the year. He has some horrible illness, and he's going to die. So he's really not able to do any real heavy labor. Nevertheless, he can still answer the phone for the person. He can still do something for the person. So therefore, even though he's a treifa, why can't they at least do a Shava Pruta's worth? So again, how can you ever have a case where the Evet is not worth a Shava Pruta? So it must be that you can't sell the Knas. That must be the answer. So one says, no, we're dealing over here not only with the Trefa, so there is no Knas, but Bimenuvel or Umu Keshchen. We're dealing with somebody over here that Rashi says is demois. They're disgusting. And you wouldn't want them to serve you in any way, shape, or form. And therefore, they can't serve you even for a Shava Pruta. And they don't have the knas. And such a person who's a treifa, menuvel, or a treifa, mukoshchin, so this person isn't worth a penny even. And that's why you need the brisa to tell us that we make the hekesh between Yelid Boyas and Kinyan Kaspo to teach us that no, even if it's not worth a shava pruta, the Evet is in fact entitled to go and eat truma if he's the Evet of a kohen. Okay, now we go back. We had a discussion from the start of the Mishnah that we've been dealing with, the Chatzi Evet, Chatzi Ben Chorim. We're going to ask some more questions, a whole bunch of series of questions over the rest of today's year and even into tomorrow's year. Ibailu, they answer the following Shaila in the base Medrash. What about Misha Chatzio Evet and Chatzio Ben Chorim? A person who's a half Evet, half Ben Chorim. Again, let's say he was inherited by Reuven and Shimon, the sons of the original owner of the Evet, and Reuven freed his half and Shimon did not. So again, that's our classical case. A person's half Evet, half Ben Chorim. What is the din? Kidesh Bas Chorin. He's not allowed to marry a Bas Chorin because the Chatzi Evet part of him, but what happens if he's Makadesh, a woman? Is there Kiddushin or not? Shekidesh Bas Chorin, because the half of him that is a free person is allowed to go and marry the Yid, the Jewish girl. So therefore, this Evet Shekidish Baschorin, Mahu, what is the din? Is this woman considered a Safek Kiddushin or not at all Kiddushin? And that's the question. Now Rashi points out that this is actually going to be based, as the Gemara will tell us, on the following scenario. That there is a din, and Rashi has this, it's not as a separate Dibur Maskel, it's in the Dibur Maskel B'Menuvel, but there you have two dots there, and there's a separate discussion that Rashi brings down. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, B'Kiddushin Amrinan, if a person says to a woman, Hiskachi lichatsoi, if you go and a man, a regular yid, full-fledged yid, says to a full-fledged woman, I want you to be married to half of me, Mikudeshes, she is Mikudeshes. But if he says, Chetzicha Mikudeshes li, half of you should be Mikudeshes li, ain't a Mikudeshes, the woman is not Mikudeshes. So based upon that din, we'll explain it a little bit more as we go through the Gemara, but that's a din. We'll accept that as a din from Kedushin. We're not going through all the dinim as to why that is right now, but in Kedushin it said, if a person says to a woman, I want you to be married to half of me, his kachi lechatsiyei Mikudeshes, she is Mikudeshes. But if he says, Chetzicha, half of you is Mikudeshes li, ain't a Mikudeshes. Based upon that, now the Gemara asks the question, can this chetziyev and chetzi b'chorim be mekadesh a woman or not? So whether you hold the way we do in Kedushin or not, the question is asked. Im timtzi lomar, even if you want to say, ben Yisrael, the yid, full-fledged yid, who says shama l'baso, to a full-fledged Jewish woman, hiskachi l'chetzi, that you should be mekudeshes to half of me, we said the Gemara in Kedushin says mekudeshes, even if you want to hold like that, you can't compare that to the case of the Eved. Because in that situation, the chazya l'kule, because even though he said that you should become mekudeshes to half of me, the bottom line is that the chazya l'kule, she could become mekudeshes to all of him. And this idea that only half of him is mekudeshes to her is not correct, and it could spread out to the entire person. The chazya l'kule, that's why the Gemara in Kedushin says that she is mekudeshes. But that's because it could go on to the entire person. He just said this strange lashon, you should be mekudeshes to half of me. So therefore, since it could spread to the whole of him, so she is mekudeshes to all of him. And it's a full-fledged kedushin. But halo chazi lekule, in our case, when he's a half ben chorin. So he's saying, hiskachi lechetzioi, so we don't compare that to kedushin of a regular person, where the kedushin is valid. Here we say, halo chazi lekule, because it can't spread out to the entire eved, because the half of him that's an Eved can't be Mikudeshes to her. So therefore, this person who's half freed, so even though he's saying Hiskashi Lechatsye, but it's not the same as the word in Kedusha, where it's a full-fledged Yid, here he's a half Yid. He's a half free, half slave. And therefore, maybe it's not going to be able to spread out to all of him, and therefore she's not Mikudeshes at all. And the other way around, Vim Tim Salomar, Ben Yisrael Mekadesh Chatzi Isha. And likewise, if the man says, I want to be Mikudeshes to half you, the regular case in Kedusha of a full-fledged Yid saying to a full-fledged Jewish woman, I want to be Mekadesh half of you. In that situation, we say, Eino Mekadeshes, so you can't bring any raya to our case, because this Shire Bikinyano, he only said, I want to be married, I want to be engaged, halachically first stage of marriage, to half of you. So this Shire Bikinyano, he did not want the other half, and therefore, she's not Mekadeshes. But here, for Eved Lo Shire Bikinyano, he didn't leave anything behind. All of him is doing this. Therefore, all of him that's able to do this is doing this. So maybe, in this situation, she would be Mekadeshes. My. So, regardless of the Gemara in Kedushin, we ask this question of the Beis Medrash, what is the din if a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, is Mekadesh, a full-fledged Jewish woman? So Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a raya to the answer to this from the following brisa. We have the din, we've already discussed this. You have an ox that's a shor muad, and it gores a person. Now, if it gores an eved, so then it kills the eved, so then there's 30 shkolim that goes to the owner of the eved. If it gores a free person and kills a free person, so then you evaluate that free person on the market. That's called kofar, and it goes to the yorshim of that person. Those are the dinim of shor shenagach, that's a shor muad, and kills either an eved, then there's knas, or a free person, then there's kofar. Now, we learned in the Brisa, we had this previously, and we have it now again, that if the ox that's a shor muad gores and kills a person who's a chatzi eved, chatzi b'chorin, so the din is, no, it's saying chatzi knas the rabble. Half of the knas, 15 of the 30, goes to the half owner of the eved, the rabble that owns the half. And then the other half, that's kofar, because that was from the free person that was killed. The half of this eved is half free, so that's kofar that you collect. Chatzi kofar goes liyorshav, to the yorshim. Now, the E Amis Kiddushin Lav Kiddushin. Now, this is the question we had asked yesterday. I said we get to the Gemara. Here's what we get to in the Gemara. If you're going to tell me that his Kiddushov Lav Kiddushin, that this Chatzi Eved Chatzi Bechorim cannot be Mekadesh a woman, then
how could he possibly have Yarshin? If he's able to be a Kaddish woman, and therefore he can have children from her, because the Kedusha take effect, and he has children from her, we understand this Bryce, and it says, the Chatzi Kofer goes Li Yarshav. But if you're telling me that the Kedushin isn't chal from the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Bechorin onto the Jewish woman, so then how could he ever have children? Any children that the Eved has aren't called his Yarshim. They belong to the master. So Yarshim in Ole. So the Gemara wants to say, you see clearly from here that the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Bechorin is in fact able to be Mekadesh a woman because he can have Yarshim. So Abba Ravada Bar Abba, no, that's incorrect. You know why? Because Kisha Aso Trefa, we're dealing over here where the ox did not kill him right away, but it made him into a Trefa. So eventually he's going to die. Within the year, he's going to die. And you're going to answer, therefore, he doesn't have Yorshim that are his children. When it said over here, Chatzi Kofer goes Li Yorshav, it means my Yorshav, it means Nafshei, it goes to him, he's not dead. So he's going to die, so therefore he's entitled to the Kofer payment, half the Kofer payment, because he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. But it doesn't go to his Yorshav, because he can't have Yorshav, because the bottom line is that the Chatzi and the Chatzi Ben Chorin is not able to be Mekadosh, a Jewish woman. How does he have Yorshim? It doesn't mean Yorshim. Rav Ado Bar Abba means, says that the words mean, my Yorshav, it means Nafshei, it goes to this person himself. Rava, Rava disagrees with this. He says, two reasons why you're wrong, Rav Ado Bar Abba. He says, shtei tshuvas badavar. Number one, chada de yorshav k'tani. The first answer is, read the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't say it goes to him. It says it goes to his yorshim. Yorshim does not mean him. That's raya number one, that you're wrong, Rav Ado Bar Abba. Raya number two, he says as follows. He says, va'od koferhu. This is called a kofer. And kofer is not collected till death. So obviously it can't be talking about going to him. So therefore, Rav Ado Bar Abba, you're wrong. And therefore, let's reinstitute this proof and say that in fact we're dealing over here where the kedushin of a chatzi eved chatzi bechorin to a full fledged Jewish woman must be able to be chal because he obviously can have yarshim. Shmuel says lav dafka. Again, this price is no proof that that is true because El Omer Rava. Rava explains. Roy litol v'ein lo. What the Braisa says, the chatzi eved chatzi bechorin that's nogach by a shorin is killed by the shor muad. So the half that goes to the rabbo, the knas that we understand, the 15 goes to the rabbo. The other half, the chatzi kofer, should go to his yarshim. Roy litol. However, v'ein lo. But there are no yarshim over here. So the Braisa is just telling us what you do with each half. There are two halves over here. The chatzi knas goes to the master. The chatzi kofer should go to his yarshim. Unfortunately, there can't be Yarshim over here because the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Bechorin is a Mekadesh woman. He is not considered Mekudeshes to her. She's not considered Mekudeshes to him. And therefore, there can't be any Yarshim. And therefore, Ve'enlo. So that's Rava's answer. Now the Gemara continues and says, Omer Rava. Rava says another member. And he says, Kishem Sha Mekadesh Chatzi Isha Eina Mekudeshes. Just like we learned in the Gemara in Kedushin, that if a person is Mekadesh, a full-fledged Yid is Mekadesh, a chatzi isha, a full-fledged Jewish woman, but he's only Mekadesh half of her. So the Gemara in Kedusha said, "Ein mikudesh." So he says the same din. Rava says applies over here. Kach chetz yoshivcha v'chetz baschorin. If you have the woman here in the scenario who is the chatzi and the chatzi bechorin, she's half of a shivcha and half of a baschorin. So again, she was originally owned by the father of Reuven and Shimon. The father dies. Reuven and Shimon inherit the Shivcho Kenanis. Reuven frees half of her, and Shimon keeps half. So you again have the din of a chatzi shivcho, chatzi baschorin, and now a full-fledged yid goes into the Mekadesh Church in the Skatcha and Kiddushah Kiddushin. So Rava says, in this situation, there is no Kiddushin over here because the full-fledged yid cannot marry the chatzi shivcho of her, and therefore it doesn't even get off the ground on the chatzi baschorin of her. And similarly, Dorash Rabba by Rav Huna, he says the same thing as Rava. Kishem Shemakadish Chatzi Isha in Mukadeshes, just like the Moran Kedusha tells us that that's not a Kedushin. Kachetzu Shilcho Chetzu Baschorin, Shiniskacha in Mukadeshes. He says the same exact thing as Rava, that in the scenario where the full fledged Yid is trying to be Makadish, this Chatzi Shilcho Chatzi Baschorin, it doesn't work. That is the opinion of Rava and Rabba by Rav Huna. On the other hand, Rav Chisda disagrees. Only Rav Chisda says, no, me dummy. How can you make this same comparison? The two cases aren't the same. You can't compare the case in the Gemara in Kedushin with this case. Because Hasam Shir Bikinyanu there, he was only Mekadesh half of a full-fledged Jewish woman. And that's why the Kedushin doesn't take effect. Here, Hacha Lo Shir Bikinyanu, he was Mekadesh 100% of half of this Bas Chorin, Chatzi Shivcha. So therefore, Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Baschorin. He was Mekadesh 100% of the half that he could. So therefore, Hachalo Shir B'Kinyano. So therefore, Rav Chisda says, you're wrong, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, to go and say that the two cases are comparable. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna accepted this critique of his shita from Rav Chisda, and Hadar, he goes, and Okim Rabbi Bar Rav Huna Amora Alei, he goes and sets up the shir, and he has the Amora. The Amora here means the person who's the target, the person who's going to, he says the shir, the Rosh Hashir would say the shir somewhat quietly, the people around him might be able to hear, but the big crowd could not hear, and the Amora would be like the loudspeaker, he would be the person that would say the shir out loud so everybody could hear it. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna retracted basically his previous psak that said that we compare the two, and he sets the Amora up there, and he gives the shir a darish, and he says, and he darshens his pasuk from Yeshaya, which says that in the pasuk in the Yeshaya is talking about that Nebuchadnezzar was a very low level of Torah learning, and people didn't really know the din, and if they saw somebody that knew even a little bit, they said, "Oh, you be our Rebbe." So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya, "V'amach shelo hazos tachas yodecha," and this is the way Rabbi Bar Rav Huna started off his shir. He says, "Ein adam omed al divrei Torah." He says the only way that you really own Torah, the only way you acquire Torah is by learning it, making a mistake, and then correcting it, and learning it correctly, so you don't make that mistake ever again. So he said, yesterday I made a mistake in this year. I said that we compare the case of Kedushin of the Mekadesh Chatzi Isha to the case of the Mekadesh, the full-fledged Jesus, Mekadesh Chatzi Shilcha Chatzi Bas Chorin. And I was wrong. So therefore, he quotes us about this pasuk in Yeshaya that you make a mistake, so that's how you grow and learn in Torah. So even though the Gemara in Kedushin is correct that if a full-fledged Jew is Makadish, half of a full-fledged Jewish woman, Einam Kodesh is, but we don't make the comparison over here, and he changed the sheet around, since he was Makadish, everything, he wasn't Shia B'Kinyano, in that situation, this Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Baschorin, Kiddusha, Kiddushin. He changed around the Shita, and he said, now, in fact, she is Mikudeshes. Why? My Taima. So the reasoning is, we said, Hosom Shia Bikinyano, Hochalo Shia Bikinyano, because, as we just had explained, in the case of Kiddushin, the Gemara in Kiddushin, where it was a full-fledged Yid, it was only Mekadesh half of a woman. He only was Mekadesh half of her. He was Shear. He left over the other half. But here, he didn't leave over anything. This was a man being Mekadesh, the Chatzi Shivcho, Chatzi Baschorin. So he was Mekadesh 100% of the 50% of her that was a Chatzi Baschorin. And that's why Rabbi Bar Huna listened to Rav Chisda's criticism of his Shita, and he changed the Shita around. Nevertheless, not everybody agrees with that. Again, we had Rava. We don't see that Rava retracted his claim. And likewise, Amar Rishayis, Rishayis said, no, I agree with the original thinking of Rabbi Bar Rav Huna and Rava, that Kishem Shemakadish Chatzi Isha and Mekadesh, like the Gemara in Kedusha tells us that if you Mekadesh half of a Jewish woman, a full-fledged Yid is Mekadesh half of a full-fledged Jewish woman, and Mekadesh, so too, same din, Kachetz Shivcha V'chetz Bascharin Shidiskatsha and Kiddusha Kiddushin. Aye, what about this concept that we just said that he was Shia B'Kinyano and here he's not Shia B'Kinyano? So Rav Sheshi says, "V'im lachashach adam omay," if somebody whispers you, so to say, and says, "Ezoi shivcho charufa," what is the din of shivcho charufa? Isn't that a case of a chatzi baschorin and a chatzi shivcho? After all, the din of shivcho charufa, which we learned already a couple of times now, is that Rechmano Lutzlan, if this woman commits adultery, she was able to marry Eved Ivri. So this woman marries an Eved Ivri. She's a Chatzi Baschorin, Chatzi Shivcha, and she Nebuch then commits adultery. So there is no din of adultery here that Basin would give both her and the adulterer, Mises Basin. Instead, she gets Malkus, and the man has to bring what's called an Asham Shivcha Charufa. So Ezo he Shivcha Charufa. If you're going to tell me, oh, you see from the din of Shivcha Charufa that there is a concept of a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Baschorin, who in fact is considered married because there's a penalty of the Asham Shivcha Charufa, so there must be some sort of a marriage over there. Oh, you can say that's the proof that there is a concept of marriage to the Chatzi Shivcha Chatzi Baschorin. He says, no, Zu Shechetzio Shivcha Chatzi Baschorin, Hamuresis Liavin Ivri, Amo Bas Isrusehi. If you're going to show me, oh, isn't there that sheet of Shivcha Charufa that says, as I just told you, that she would in fact be Chayev Malkus and the man would be Chayev and Asham Shivcha Charufa, so there must have been some sort of a marriage over there? No, there are two different opinions as to what a Shivcha Charufa is. This is the one. This is the only one we've learned so far in our past couple of days, learning this Masechta. But now we introduce, Rav Sheshi says, another interpretation of what is a Shivcha Charufa, and go and tell the person who says, oh, look, here you see that there is a Kedushin on a Chatzi Shivcha Chatzi Baschorin because of the din of Shivcha Charufa. He says, no, Emolo, tell him, there is another opinion. Klach Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel, Shu Omer. Go to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the definition of the Shivcha Charufa is B'Shivcha Kenanis Hamuros Oli Eved Ivri. It's a full-fledged Shivcha Kenanis that is designated for the Eved Ivri. And if you're going to tell me, then how could it be Kedushin? Shivcha Kenanis Basis Ruzi? Everybody agrees that the Eved Ivri is not Ma'aris. He's not going to go and marry this Shivcha that is a full shivcha kinanis, and yet it says that there's this din of shivcha charufa. Elo, what are you going to say? Obviously, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that there is no chatzi eved chatzi shivcha over here, it's a full-fledged shivcha kinanis, and yet there is a din that one might have thought that there should be adultery in this situation if this woman, who's a full-fledged shivcha kinanis, designated for this Evan Ivri, if she were to commit adultery with somebody, you might have thought that there would be a din of adultery and there'd be capital punishment. No, there's a din of Malkus and there's a din of Asham Shivcho Charufa. So clearly there was no Erisin, there was no Kiddushin in that situation. So Hochanami, just like in that situation, it was called that she was designated for him. So too, in our case, in the Chatzi Evan, Chatzi Shivcho, my Moret says, it means Miyuchedes. And therefore, there is no Kiddushin here whatsoever. That is what Rosh Hashanah says. Mark continues and says, Amar Chizda, Chizda tells us, if you have a chetzi shivcho, a chetzi baschorin, you have this half shivcho kinanis and half baschorin, sheniskatcha l'ruve. Ruvein gave her kiddushin. Now, we didn't come to a conclusion whether that kiddushin was accepted or not. But what happens if Ruvein has a brother, Shimon? The sheniskatcha, after she is fully freed, the other half of her was freed. So her two owners, one had freed her, the other one had not freed her, and she had accepted at that point in time kiddushin from Ruvein, who's brother number one. And then the second owner of her freed her. And then v'nischazra v'niskatcha l'shimon, she goes and marries brother number two. So there seems to be over here a problem. First, she's possibly married to brother number one, and then she definitely, when she's a free woman, gets married to brother number two. So she's seemingly married to two brothers, and then both of them die. Umesu shneim. So Reuven dies and Shimon dies. So the din here is misyabemes the Levi, that in fact Levi can do yibum with her and must do yibum with her. Now this brings about a number of questions as we turn to Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and the Gemara here now tells us normally there is a din that if a woman is married to two brothers, so then there is no din of Yibam because you can't fall from two brothers. As Rashi, the top Rashi tells us from the Gemara in Yevamos, Gimel Achen Nisuin Gimel Noshim Nochrios. You have three brothers that are married to three unrelated women. Umeis Echmehem, let's say the first brother dies, brother number one dies, but also Ba Hasheni Maimer, and brother number two does a Maimer with the widow of brother number one, and then Umeis, and then he dies. So now this woman, who was the wife of brother number one, and through Maimer, the wife of brother number two, and both of them died, Umeis, so brother number three, Choletz, is not allowed to go and do Yibam, he has to do Chalitza to the wife of brother number one, and who also was the wife of brother number two through the Maimer, so you're only allowed to do Chalitza with brother number three, because the Pasuk says, Umeis Echad Mehem, the Gomer, and we darshan it out, Mishalel Zikas Yovim Echad, so normally this din, she only do yibam if she falls from one brother, not from two brothers. So why don't we say the same thing over here? The Gemara says, the Einani Kore Ba Eishes Shnei Mesim. In this situation, where the woman who was a Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Baschorin, first got married to Reuven. Again, we don't know whether that Kedusha took effect or not. Then she is freed, and now she gets married to his brother Shimon. So in this situation, if Reuven and Shimon both die, we don't say that this is Eishes Shnei Mesim, but it's considered over here that Levi is allowed to do Yibam to her. Ein ani korei bo Eishes Shnei Mesim. Now, why not? So the Gemara says, Marashach, because whichever way you want to look at it, there's no problem in saying that it's only really from one mace. If you want to say, Ikidushe Deruven Kidushin, if in fact the Kidushin that she got when she was a Chatzi Evet, Chatzi Baschorin, if in fact that Kiddushin took effect, so then if the Kiddushin of Reuven is able to take effect in that situation, so then the Kiddushin, the Shimon, La Kiddushin, then Shimon did nothing. He tried to marry a married woman, and the Kiddushin aren't chal. And if you're going to tell me, V'Kiddushin de Shimon Kiddushin, if you're going to tell me that Reuven's Kiddushin was not a good Kiddushin, she was a Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Baschorin, and the Kiddushin don't take effect, then when she's fully freed, so now, when Shimon gives a Kiddushin, so she's fully Shimon's wife, and she's not Reuven's wife. So Kiddushin de Reuven, love Kiddushin. So, Mimonav Shach over here, she either is Reuven's wife only, or she's only Shimon's wife, and therefore, even though we don't know whether she's Reuven's wife or whether she's Shimon's wife, she's not called Eishes Shnei Mesim. She's only the Isha of one mace. We just don't know whether it's Reuven or whether it's Shimon. But Mimanushah, Levi can do Yibam. If it was Reuven's wife, he's doing his brother's wife with Yibam with her. If it was Shimon's wife, he's doing his brother's wife Yibam. And therefore, there is no problem in Levi doing Yibam with this woman because she either was Reuven's wife or she wasn't Reuven's wife and then she was Shimon's wife. Mimanushah, he was only doing Yibam with a woman who fell from one brother and not from two brothers. Okay. More now as the following statement, Itmar, we learned, Chetzer Shivcho v'chetzer Baschorin Shiniskatcha L'Ruvain, in a situation that we just had, where this Chatzi Shivcho, Chatzi Baschorin, took Kiddushin from Reuven, and then the Nishtachra. So while she was a Chatzi Shivcha, she took the Kiddushin, but then, after she had accepted this guy's Reuven's Kiddushin, while she was a Chatzi Shivcha, the master that owned the other half of her freed her, Vinishtachra. Now she's a full-fledged Jewish woman, Vichazu Vinishkacha, and she goes and gets married to somebody else, L'Shimon. Here, Rashi points out, the Reuven and Shimon are not brothers. In the first case, they were brothers. Here, they're not brothers at all. So she took Kiddushin while she was a Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Baschorin from Reuven. And now she's freed, and now she takes Kiddushin from Shimon. So what's the story over here? So Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Amar Rav Yachman, Rav Yosef Bar Chama says the name of Rav Nachman, Paku Kiddushin Rishon, the first Kiddushin are gone the minute she became Nishtachwa. There was no Kiddushin over there. And now that she's a full-fledged woman, any sense or any status that she was, in fact, Mikudeshes, falls away because she never really was. And now, therefore, when Shimon is Mikadisher, so, in fact, she is the wife of Shimon. That is the opinion of Rav Yosef Bar Chama in the name of Nachman. But Rav Zeira said over the name of Rav Nachman the exact opposite. Rav Zeira, Rav Nachman says, Garmu Kiddushin Rishon. No, the moment she's freed, so the Kiddushin of Reuven now spreads to her freed half. The half that previously was a Shivcha Kinanis Chetzia, now that Kiddushin that he had given to the Baschorin aspect of her, now the minute she's freed, spreads to the Chatzi Shivcha aspect of her, and Gamru Kiddushin Rishon. And in fact, she's fully fledged married to Reuven, and the Kiddushin from Shimon is worthless, because he's giving Kiddushin to a fully married woman, and it didn't take effect. So you have Rav Zeira saying in the name of Rav Nachman, something totally different than Rav Yosef Bar Chama said in Rav Nachman. Yosef Bechama said in Rav Nachman that the first Kiddushin, when she was a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Shivcha, have zero effect, and even though she's freed, she's considered not Mikudeshes, and she accepts the Kiddushin from Shimon, perfectly good Kiddushin to Shimon. And Rav Zeira said the exact opposite. The first Kiddushin that she had gotten when she was a Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Baschorin, took effect on the Chatzi Baschorin part of her. And the minute she becomes freed, it now spreads to the new Chatzi Baschorin, second part of her, that previously was a Chatzi Shivcha Kinanis, and therefore Gamru Kiddushin Rishon. Now, Rav Zeira says, I'll show you that I'm right. I'm Rav Zeira. Kabosi, Didi, Mistabra. My opinion seems to be more correct. Why is that? Because the Pasuk says, Lo yumsu kilo hu pasha. In the case, again, of the Shivcha Charufa, which we're understanding here simply means Chatzi Evet, the Chatzi Baschorin. So, in this situation where she is married to the Evet Ivri, so if this woman then goes and commits adultery, so we said, we don't give the Misa, the woman, the adulteress, and the person she committed adultery with. Normally, you would give Misa in such a situation. Here, we don't give Misa's based into either of them. Instead, she gets Malkis, and he brings in Asham Shivcho Charufa, because the pasuk says, Lo Yimsu Ki Lo Chupasha, because she's not a free woman. Implication being, Ha Chupasha, the minute she does become a free woman, Yomsu, then in fact it would be considered adultery because this marriage to the Eved Ivri is in fact a good marriage. And therefore that's a raya, Rav Zeira says, to my understanding from Rav Nachman, that Gamru Kiddushin Rishon. Where says, Lav Dafka. Amalei Abaye says to Rav Zeira, who says, there's another opinion what the Shivcha Roof is. Well, the Tana Deir Rishmal, that second opinion that we just learned a few minutes ago, according to the opinion of the Tana Deir Rishmal, that this Shivcha Roof is not a Chatzi Shivcha Chatzi Baschorin. The Amar B'Shivcha Kenanis Hamures is the Eved Ivri. It's all about a full Shivcha Kenanis who's been designated for this Eved Ivri, that there is no adultery in that situation. So in that situation, we see that there is no Kiddushin there whatsoever. So Hochanam here too. The Chichu Pasha, Yumsu. Would you go and give her Misa in this situation if she becomes freed? No, there never was Kiddushin over here. So there is no adultery. So therefore, Abaye says, your proof, Rav Zeira, that your understanding of Rav Nachman is correct, is not a good proof. Furthermore, Abaye says, Ela Maisel Chamem, what are you going to say? Shechu Pasha V'chazu V'niskacha? We're dealing over here that she was freed and then he remarried her. So, Hochanami, in that case as well. Shechu Pasha V'chazu V'niskacha. So, we're dealing over here with after she was a fully freed woman. Then she took the Kiddushin. So only then does the second Kiddushin, the Shimon's Kiddushin, take effect on her, because the original Kiddushin doesn't take effect whatsoever. So Abaye says, your Raya, Rav Zeira, in the name of Rav Nachman, is incorrect. Bar Ketina says, Amar Rav Huna Bar Ketina, Amar Yitzchak. Rav Huna Bar Ketina said the name of Yitzchak. Maisid, what was the story? Be'isha Achas, with a certain woman, Shechetzi Shechub, Chetzi Beschavin. She was a half slave and half freed woman. The Chavu Ezraba, Basor Baschorin. And the Beis Din forced the master that owned the second half of her to go and free her. Just like our Mishnah, Basila was eventually molded to Beis Shammai, that you've granted, you've solved the financial issue, but you haven't solved the problem. This man can't marry anybody. So too over here, Rav Huna Makatina said in Rav Yitzchak that basically would do the same thing over here, to force this woman to be freed by her, the master that owns the second part of her, in order that she should be a full-fledged Bas Chorin. And seemingly, the Gemara says, come on, who does this hold like? This can only go like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says, the Omar, al shneim hu omer vayivarech osam elokim bayomer v'gomer pur vuv mul v'gomer, that this is the famous sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka that says that women are also obligating pur vuv. We don't pass it like this. We, in fact, somewhat surprisingly pass it that only men have the obligation of pur vuv. A woman technically doesn't have the obligation of pur vuv. I heard from my Rebbeim that this makes sense from a teleological point of view. How can you command a woman to do something that is very dangerous? In those days, childbirth was very dangerous. Baruch Hashem today, Baruch Hashem, it's almost never you hear about a woman dying. But even so, recently there was a case of a woman, a famous case of an athlete that she died in childbirth, or she died while she was pregnant. Very, very unusual. So the din technically is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask a woman to go do something as a mitzvah for something that's dangerous for her. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a maternal instinct that she would want to get married. In any event, that's the normal opinion of Chachamim, that only men are obligated in Pur Avuh. So if only men are obligated in Pur Avuh and not women, so then why would the Beis Din force this woman, who's the Chatzi Ev and Chatzi Shivcha, why would they force her master to go and free her? After all, she's not Mechuyevus in Pur Avuh. So therefore, it must be that this statement that Rav Huna Bar Katina said in Neri Yitzchak only goes according to the opinion of Yochanan Broka, who says that women are obligated in Pur Avuh. He dashes the psukim that we just mentioned in a different way than the Chacham. So Gemara says, Lav Dafka, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, lo, you don't have to say it that way. It could even be according to the Chachamim. Aye, women aren't Mechuyevus in Pur Avuh, but this woman who's a Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Ben Chorin, so in this situation, she's unfortunately not able to get married to anybody, so she's going to lead a life of Hefkeris. So therefore, Minog Hefker Na'aguva, the reason why Rav Huna Bar Katina, Amar Yitzchak said that they should go and force the master of the half of her that's an avid, that's the half of her that's a shivcha kinanis, to go and free her, is because she was acting in an immoral way, because she couldn't get married to somebody, and therefore there was nobody to protect her, so they were taking advantage of her. And therefore, in order to protect her, let her become a free woman, she'll get married to somebody, and that husband will not let her go and be treated in an immoral way by the men. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hamocher avdoli ovdi kochavim, if a person sells his Evid to an Ovi Kochavim, which we said you're not allowed to do, you shouldn't do, and in fact, the Ovi Kochavim only can purchase the rights of the work of the Evid, but he doesn't purchase the goof of the Evid. Or if you sell your Evid living in Eretz Yisrael to somebody living outside of Eretz Yisrael, so both of these things are wrong, and therefore the Chachamim instituted a Knas, Yotza Ben Chorin. This Evid that you sold to an Ovi Kochavim, or you sold to somebody living outside of Eretz Yisrael, if you were previously living in Eretz Yisrael, since he's now being yored for marriage as well, which is an aveira, so therefore we give a knas over here and say the eved goes free. Morris starts off and tells us Tanur about women following brayis. Amocher adoli of the chacham. Yotzel Chayus says similar to what our Mishnah said. The brayis says if you sell your eved to a guy, so then the eved goes free when he gets away from that goyish master. The tzarech gets shich from a rabbi rishon, but if he then goes free, he's not fully free to go marry a Jewish woman until he gets a get shichur from the original owner, from the yid that first sold him to the Ovi Kochavim. Now, that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Omer Shem Gamliel, Rav Gamliel qualifies, it says, by man, under what circumstances are we talking about that he needs to get shichror, shalom, kosav, olav, ono. He didn't write a ono. Ono, Rashi says, is a document, which we'll explain in a moment what exactly it is. But if he wrote a document, avol kosav, olav, ono, when he sold him to the Ovi Kochavim, if he gave him a document, so then he doesn't need to get shichror, because zehu shichro. This ono, this document, is his get shichror. What exactly is this ono? My ono? So Gemara says, Omer Sheshes, the kosav lehochi, when he sold him to the Ovi Kochavim, he wrote the Eved the following document, and he wrote, Omer Sheshes, the kosav lehochi, lechish tivrach mimenu. If, when you go and escape from that Ovi Kochavim master, then ein li esek boch. I will have nothing to do with you. You are now a free person. So that's essentially a get shechra. And as long as Rav Shimon Wil says that he wrote this ono, when he first sold him to the Ovi Kochavim, he doesn't need to get shichur when he breaks away, when he escapes from the Ovi Kochavim. If he didn't write him the ono, then you're right. The Tanakhama, the Braisa, who said, Tzorach get shichur, Rabbi Rishon, even Rishon Gamliel will agree that that is correct. Talking about learning another Braisa, Lova Olav Min Ovi Kochavim. If a person borrowed from a guy, so Reuven borrows money from a guy, and he uses the Eved that he owns as the collateral. So kivan shaslo ovi kochavim nimuso. When the ovi kochavim does nimuso to this eved, we'll see he puts some sort of a collar on this eved. So then yotzel cheres at that moment in time, the eved goes free because the Jewish master wasn't allowed to sell him to an ovi kochavim. And even if you use him as collateral over here, as soon as, so to say, the ovi kochavim takes possession to him by doing this nimuso, so then immediately the eved goes free because he is still owned by the yid, and as a knas, since he made him as this apodiki, he made him as the payment, the collateral for this loan that he took out from the guy. So the eved goes free. Yotzel cheres. Now, what exactly is my nimuso? What is this nimuso? Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, he says nashki. It's something called nashki. Rashi explains that nashki is a chosem, a simen avdus, shetolun liavadim savareim. So when this guy puts his collar around him, he puts some sort of a sign on him that, yeah, this is my eved. So at that moment in time, this knas takes effect and this eved goes free. Masa Rosheshu questions this. He says, wait a second, we have another law where we use this term of nashki, and it doesn't seem to have the same meaning. So he says, the din is in the following brisa. Ha'arisin, if a person is an oris, an oris is a person who works the land for a percentage. So he takes over the field and he'll give 25%, 33%, 50%, whatever the arrangement was, to the share of the shares of the crops to the original landowner, to the landowner, and he keeps the rest for himself, or vice versa. He takes only that amount, whatever the din is, the deal is. So that is an oris, or vachakiros. People that are different type of sharecroppers, they pay a flat sum. I'll give you $100 and I work the field. If the field makes only $50, then I'm out $50. If the field makes $500, then I made a profit of $400. So that's called the chakira type of sharecropping. Or if you have sharecroppers that have been historically the sharecroppers on that land for many, many years. So this is like a guarantee that they're going to be the sharecroppers on this land. Or the Ovi Kochavim, Shemishkein Sudeh Yisrael. Or if an Ovi Kochavim gave to a person that he borrowed from, a Jewish person that he borrowed from, this field is the collateral. So in all of these situations, Afa Pisha Asalo Nimuso, even though the Yid in each one of these situations made this Nimuso, so then Turmin Amasi. Nevertheless, this goes according to the opinion that an Ovi Kochavim that owns land in Eretz Yisrael, so even though there's Jewish sharecroppers, even though it's used as collateral, so this field is Ptur Min HaMaisa. This goes according to the opinion that says an Ovi Kochavim is able to be Kohen of the land, and there is no din on a Deraisa level of taking off Trumas and Maisos. Ptur Min HaMaisa. Now, how is this a question? So the Esau Kedait of Nashki, if you're telling me over here this Nimuso is Nashki, he put up some sort of a seal on the field, a simon on the field, so Sadebas Nashki, what does that mean? So if you're telling me over here Nimuso is Nashki, so by the Eved we understand, he puts a seal around the Eved's neck, but what seal do you put on the field? So therefore, El Om Rav Sheshi says, you know what this Nimuso is? It means Zuman. When the Yid borrowed money from the guy, and he said, if I don't pay you back by such and such a date, that's what it means, nimuso. It doesn't mean nashki. It doesn't mean a collar or some sort of a simon around his neck. He says, if I don't pay you back by such and such a date, the eved belongs to you. Oh, that is what nimuso means. And by the goyish din, so that eved automatically belongs to the guy at that point in time. And therefore, that's what Rav Sheshi says, nimuso means zman. Now we have a problem, however. The way we understood Zman according to Rav Sheshi, so there seems to be a difference between the first Brisa and the second Brisa. So Kasha Zman Azman. The first Brisa, which talked about the person borrowing money from the guy and using the slave basically as the collateral, and in that situation we said that the slave belongs to the guy as soon as the date comes. But in the second Brisa, we said that you were taking the field, so even though there's a Zman on it, it still belongs to the guy. So there seems to be a steer over here. So what says Lokasha? In the case with the slave, the time has come. So therefore, the slave belongs to the guy. In the case of the field, however, the time has not yet come, and therefore, the field still belongs to the guy. It hasn't yet been transferred over to the yid. So what says, if that's true, Elagabi Eved, the motus mane, Srichel Meimar. So then, what's the Chiddush? If the time has come, so of course it belongs to the non-Jewish person at that point in time. What's the Chiddush that you have to say that the slave goes free? So therefore, that can't be the resolution. So the Gemara says, Elo idi v'idi delo motus mani. Both cases, the case of the slave, the time hasn't yet come yet, and yet the guy is considered to own it from that point in time, that the slave goes free. And in the case of the field, it's still considered belonging to the guy. How come that's not a stira? Because they're both talking about the lo motus mani. However, v'lo kasha ha'legufa v'ha'lepeira. Because in the case of the slave, while he didn't fully own the slave until the date of the shtar, and that date hasn't come yet, they're both agreeing, both cases are talking about the lo motus mane, but since it's legufa, as Rashi says, Gabi Ebed, the cover bo's man legufo, shim lo yitin lo ad osu's man, ye gufo cholut li of the kochavim, umay achshav hoyimishtabi bo. He had the right to use the slave from now. It doesn't belong to him yet. That would come only on the date. But even before the date, he has the right to use him. And therefore, that's already a kenas on the owner that he has to go and free him. Yotzel cheres. Whereas in the case of the field, so it's only talking about the parents of the field. That if the date comes and the loan hasn't been paid back, so then you're entitled to eat the fruits of the field. So, achir para mosecha hilkach, only when the money hasn't been back, then you have the rights to the payros. Afilu moto zimne lav mechiri, but it's not a sale. So, that field never really belongs to the yid. It's only the payros that will belong to the yid, and therefore, in this situation, the sale is still considered as if it belongs to the guy, and it's only the payros that are going over to the yid, and that's why there's no stira. In the case of the eved, he is considered already being used and owned by the Goyish new owner, and therefore there's a knas and yotzu l'cheres. In the case of the field never really left the Goyish owner, and therefore it's p'tura min amaser. We turn for another teretz, Nandaladum and Aleph, and this will conclude the shir. You can give a different teretz, v'shalove al-menas l'mashkino, v'lo mishkino. That he has the right to go and take the field if that date comes. But if he doesn't take the field, so then it still belongs to the guy, and therefore, while he had the right to go and take this mashkon, he could go and collect if he wished to, but he didn't actually go and collect it. So, in regards to ma'aser, since the field is still in the hands of the guy, we say it's p'tura in ma'aser. But in regards to the slave, since he has the right to go and take the slave, so it's considered in this situation that the slave is really owned now by the guy. And therefore, we give a knas and say, Yotzu l'cheirus. We'll stop over here. Everybody should have Mi'atz Hashem a great day.